Redeemed. And man, that was a wonderful special. I wish I could play. I wish I could play a piano. I was just thinking about a great verse that goes right along with that. It says here in 1 Peter, now we'll be in the book of Luke here in just a moment. But it says, for as much as ye know that you were not corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received in the Bible. But this is what this verse says in verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ. Praise the Lord. If you're here today and you know Jesus as your Savior, then you are redeemed. Just reinforces that wonderful truth that we have in the Lord Jesus. Yeah, we have a great anniversary coming up. The Freddies. It was the 7th. He's telling me the Freddies this week. Which day would it be? Nett's parents, the Freddies, 70th anniversary. 70th. They're not able to get to church like they... And they would be here if they could be, but it's just like a couple little punk kids. You're just at 65, right? Oh, man, 70, that's just amazing. To see the Hadads, right? So good. You were just visiting last week, and we're glad that you're here back with us again. Chapter 12 is a great chapter, but in there contains chapter 12. The Lord Jesus Christ had responded to, actually 13 and 14, someone comes to him, they've got a con himself who's manifest in the flesh, that's who Jesus is, and it says in verses 13, would you please speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me? So they got an inheritance and some kind of squabble, some kind of conflict, and in regard to what the Lord said, inheritance. And so he goes to the Lord Jesus and says, would you help me with this? He did the whole universe with the breath of his mouth. But he said, man, who made me a judge? Work that out on your own. I'm a divider over you. He says, I'm not touching this one. It spawns him a conversation about him talking about something here. And he's going to talk about the monetary confidence in the right thing. That man was interested about some money. This, and then we take a look here where the Lord takes this and brings forth a parable. He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. He says, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the thing. Spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. No room where to bestow my fruits. I've got this great crop that's come in. What a wonderful harvest, but I don't have the room to store it all. And he said, this will I do. This is what I'm going to do. I will pull down my barns, and I'll build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I hope you followed that. It's pretty clear. The Lord, when the Lord gave out parables or when he taught, he put the cookies on the lower shelf, didn't he? And I need that. He made things pretty simple for us to understand. And so he makes this parable very, very clear, and he lays it out very, very simply. So I'm sure you've heard this parable before. If you've been saved for any length of time, I'm sure you're very, very familiar with it. So with that, let's have a word of prayer. Let's ask God to be with this message here today. Father, we come to you today. We're so grateful for the opportunity to be able to gather together. Thank you for brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your precious word that means so much to us. Help us to love it. Help us to hide it in our hearts. Help us to read it daily. Lord, help us with the things that can get a hold of our lives. You spoke about covetousness here. And Lord, sometimes we get our sights on things that we shouldn't, instead of the true eternal riches. So Lord, help us. Help us to put our confidence in the right things. Lord, we pray that you'd speak to hearts today. Help us if we are struggling with this. I pray for anybody here without Christ, without Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they would see more than anything that they need to be saved. They need to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And so I pray that you'll work on each and every heart. I pray, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear. I pray for you to be glorified. That's what I want. I pray that you would put me to the side. I don't want to get in your way and hinder you in any way. And I pray for the Spirit of God to do his work in our hearts today. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this man brings forth plentifully, all right? The Lord brings forth this parable. It's something that didn't really happen, but he makes this story. That's what those parables are. It's an earthly story that has a heavenly meaning. So that's what a parable is. And so the Lord is trying to prove a point here, and he's talking about covetousness. So this man's ground brings forth plentifully, and he says to himself, what shall I do? I will build bigger barns, and then I will eat off the fat of the land. That's what he is saying. But God says to him, when we get to verse 20, he says, thou fool. Well, you know, so many people in this life have gone down the same road. Amen? Sure. Putting all their trust in accumulating material goods. I think about just the ungodly amounts of money that go into professional sports. The contracts, they're just mind-blowing. If you follow sports at all, or celebrities, or, you know, there's people that really make some money here. I looked into the NBA, and I got these numbers. The average salary of an NBA player, they play 82 games a year, right, is $10 million plus, right? For each player, $10.5 million. You know, LeBron James, I think he's making about $44 million a year, all right? So he's got a little bit of disposable income there, right? $10.1 million on the average player. I'm trying to convince the commissioner, I think his name is Adam Silver, if I could just play 1 minute, okay? Because the average amount that they make in a game at $10.1 million is they're making $91,463 a game. So if I played 1 minute, I'd have like $2,000. But I don't know that I'll be able to get in for 1 minute of time. But can you imagine that, making $91,000 a game for dribbling a ball around? Man, yes. But people put their confidence in these things. They put their confidence in riches. I saw a bumper sticker a long time ago, and I've seen it a number of times. He who dies with the most toys wins. I don't think so, but that's what some people like to think. Others like to put their trust in other things, their lifestyle, their pedigree. You know, it ain't much if it ain't Dutch. If you're Dutch here, you can say amen to that one, right? You know, some put their trust in their spiritual pedigree, their religion, or maybe it's just placed in their good works, or maybe it's just placed in their wacky thinking like, yeah, everybody's going to heaven. I've talked to people, everybody's going to heaven. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Some people like to, you know, I give to the March of Dimes, so I'm going to heaven. Well, no, nobody can earn their way to heaven, okay? So some people just have some wacky thinking, because the Bible says this, they are all gone out of the way. And it says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Everybody has their opinion about how they can earn eternal life and how they can get to heaven, but God says, no, there's only one way, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ took this opportunity to teach his disciples and all the other folk that were around him about the trap of covetousness, about not putting their confidence in the things of this life. And folks, we as believers can fall into that trap as well and get our eyes on earthly things instead of heavenly things. Amen? 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 6 and 7 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. It says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. You're not going to be a. How many times have you seen a U-Haul at a gravesite, at a funeral? No, doesn't happen. You can't take anything out of this life. Then the Lord transitions into that well-known discourse that he has with the disciples. You know, verse 24, when he says, Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. And then he says in verse 27, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And then in verse 31, as he continues, he says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so the Lord is saying unto us that he makes this message oh so clear that he will take care of our needs, that he'll take care of all of our wants and all of our needs. God wants us to completely put our confidence in him. We read that verse a little earlier, but is that where we're at today? It needs to be. It says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 26, for the Lord shall be thy confidence. The Lord shall be thy confidence. Is he your confidence today? Is he the one that you put your trust in every moment of the day? Jeremiah 17, we read those verses earlier. And it says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 and 8, not the whole passage, but basically it says this, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. And then as you get to those later verses that we read, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Now, there are a number of ways in which we can put our confidence in him. And I'm speaking to us as believers. Now, certainly, I will speak to you today as well if you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Because I want you to put your faith and trust. There are a number of ways that we can put our trust and our confidence in him. And the first thing that I want to bring forth is so important for us is to be confident that he hears your prayers. Be confident that he hears your prayers. We have as our theme verse this year, pray without ceasing. Well, why would we say that? Well, because the Bible commands us to do it. Now, are we is it possible to do that? Man, that's a high set bar right there. But we are to try to reach that bar and every day keep our thoughts on the Lord and be in prayer with him and pray without ceasing. But it's so important for us to have that he hears your prayers. So we must be praying. It says in Psalm 55, will I pray? And verse 17, evening and morning and at noon will I believe that was David, or whatever the psalmist was in Psalm 55. He understood that morning and afternoon and evening through the whole day, I'm going to keep my heart on him, and the Lord will hear me. And I say this to those, again, that are here, maybe without the Lord Jesus Christ, that to encourage you to pray and talk to the Lord. Now, for the most part, and the Lord knows every conversation that has taken place in this whole world. God knows everything. But as a whole, he doesn't listen to a lost man's prayers until a lost man looks unto him and calls out unto him and seeks the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you're here today without Christ, then I would exhort you to call out unto God. And to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who died for your sins and was buried and rose again. The Bible says that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we would want to see you saved today. That is the greatest decision that you could ever make. This thing about confidence, don't you hate it when you put your confidence in something and it lets you down? I remember one time I was making some deliveries. I was delivering some milk back in the day, back in my 20s, and there was kind of a little poodle there at this home, and I thought, what a cute little poodle, you know, and he was in a little kind of little kennel in the garage, and I went in to put the milk into that house, into the garage. There was a refrigerator there, and I went, that little poodle was just, you know, yapping the whole thing. I said, what a cute little guy, and I made the dumb mistake of putting my finger there like I was going to pet it, and it bit me. Oh, my goodness, I'm like, I put my confidence in you. Well, it happened a little bit later, you know. But, it's not fun when you never fails when we put our confidence in him. For those of us that are saved, the Lord's promises to hear the prayers of his children. Now, listen, we all have our times of doubt. Even David, a man after God's own heart, said in Psalm 10 and verse 1, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? You think, how could a man after God's own heart would have doubts like that? He's human. But the thing about David is he never stayed there long, and he went right back looking unto the Lord, and hence that's why he's called a man after God's own heart. But because of what Christ did in dying for us, we upon his merits, folks, we upon the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ can come to the throne of grace at any time. And that ought to be a great comfort to you and I. It says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Because of the name of Christ, we can come boldly unto the throne of grace with confidence. It says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Did you hear that? Let us therefore come boldly with confidence, not in our own name. It is certainly not based on our cuteness, right, or our delightful personalities. That's certainly not going to get us entrance into heaven. Nor our manipulative ways. That's certainly not going to do it, but it's because of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of the little girl that was going to bed, and she had been visiting with Grandpa, and he's out in the living room, and Mom takes her off to the side bedroom, and she's ready to go to bed, and Mom says, it's time to pray, sweetheart. And so the little girl gets down on her knees, and she prays loudly, and she's praying, oh, please, God, give me a baby doll. And a tea set, and roller skates. And her mommy said, honey, God's not deaf. You don't need to pray so loud. She says, no, I know that, but Grandpa is. Yeah, none of those things will do, folks. All of those pedigrees or whatever we might be trusting in. No. It's because of the name of Christ that we come to his throne of grace. It is simply by claiming his promises and trusting in him. He said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. Understand this, Christian, that this is key, that our fellowship with the Lord must be right. If God is going to hear us, then we want to make sure that our hearts are right and that we're prayed. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 66 and verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And we may know the Lord and he may be our Savior, but if there's some things in our hearts and in our lives that are not right with him, then there's going to be a gap in the communication. The Lord will not hear us. The Lord wants to deal with us. The Lord wants us to get our hearts right with him. And maybe the Lord is showing you some things today. Maybe there's an issue with another brother or sister in Christ. Or maybe there's something that just needs to be addressed. And the Lord says, you wonder why your prayers are not being answered. There's some things that you need to attend to. And the Lord is so good and so kind to acknowledge those things, to reveal those things unto us if we're listening. Amen? Make sure to come before him regularly. He wants to hear us on a regular basis, not just when we have needs. I said this a few weeks ago, that it ought to be just times when we just come before the Lord just to praise him. Lord, I don't really want to pray about anything. I know that I have needs, but I don't want to bring this to you at this time. I just want to brag on you how great you are. What a great God you are. But I love some of the promises that he gives to us in regard to answering prayer. 1 John chapter 5 and verses 14 and 15 says, and this is the confidence, here's that word again, and this here is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Right, Brother Jordan? He heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. You know, if we pray according to his will, God is so good to hear that. He is marvelous in his wonderful ways. And then secondly, be confident that he is working in you. Be confident that he hears our prayers. It's important for you and I to know that. But be confident of this, that God is doing a work inside of you. We might not always be aware of that. We may have our doubts and wonder. Sometimes the Lord seems 100 million miles away. But the Lord's promise is that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And so you may feel, and I wouldn't want to run my Christian life on feelings, because feelings are so up and down. And it's wonderful when you have good feelings, right? You remember those feelings when you first met your wife, who's your wife now, you know, it's like, oh man, you know, all of the, your Twitter pated and the emotions are great, but you know, over time, it just goes up and down. That's just life. And life happens that way with us as believers. It's not always going to be, you know, wonderful tingles going through your body. If you live on that, you're going to be disappointed. So we have to get through sometimes feelings that can deceive us. But be confident of this, that even when you're not even aware of it, the Lord says that he's doing a work in you. And he's doing a work in me. Don't ever lose sight of that. It's amazing that he promises to be there and guarantees to work in us. Because he says that over and over. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. I'll just read that verse to you. But have that verse in mind. That's a great verse to just memorize. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Right. Being confident of this very thing, he says, be confident and know that what I've begun in you, I'll continue to work in your life. Chapter 2 and verse 13 of Philippians, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is working in you. And be aware of that and know that for certain, so that when you come before the Lord, you say, Lord, I know you're working in me. I don't see it. I'm not aware of it. I don't feel it for the moment, but I know you're working in me, and I just want to thank you for that. That's a prayer of faith. And certainly there are times, hopefully, you do see when he's worked in you. But it's a good prayer to pray when you're not always seeing it. Folks, he wants us to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. He's working in you if you're a believer and you know Christ. He's wanting to conform you to the image of his Son. He wants us to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says to be conformed to the image of his Son. That is what he's wanting to do in our lives, is to make us. Let that thought get cemented into your brain. That you know without a doubt, Lord, you want me to become more like you. Lord, more like my great Savior. Thank you, Father, for doing that. And be confident in his word. Chapter 13 and verse 6 talks about that it says that the Lord, that I may know without a doubt that the Lord is helping me. And he is strengthening me for whatever to submit to him on a regular basis. Just submit. You know, tonight we'll be speaking of, it's not an easy role, but they're told to be in submission. For those that are married, to be in submission. You know, jerky husbands? Yeah, I wouldn't know about that, right? Oh, man, I've played the jerk so many times, and I'm grateful for a wife who just submits, you know? I mean, that there's a challenge there for every wife. But listen, we're to submit to the Lord on a regular basis. And if we'll do that, then God can do his work in us more swiftly. Now, understand the Lord will put you through some things. He allows things to happen in our life. That's how our faith is grown, is when we're stretched. Faith are like muscles in the body that in order for them to be strengthened, they have to be tested. And faith must be tested as well. But listen, folks, it's much more preferable to just put our hands unto the Lord and let him take you through some things rather than just let the devil kind of have control of your life. And I say that as believers, because if we're walking after the flesh, then we kind of have put ourselves into Satan's court. And Satan can have his will and his way with us as long as the Lord is, you know, I mean, we've taken ourselves out from under the umbrella of God's protection. You think some good things will come of that? But it just doesn't. I know that that's good preaching. Because if we get ourselves away from the Lord and we keep our eyes on him, then the Lord, yeah, he... And even though several of them were sailors, you know, were fishermen, and they'd been over that sea many times, Lord, carest thou not that we perish? I mean, this is, we've been out here. So the Lord lets us go through some things, but it's so good. No one has the compassion that in every one of us. He is so wise. He knows the particular things that you need. and the particular mold you and to be able to strengthen you. God is so good to do that. A tremendous story. You take a look at Joseph's life. Joseph was betrayed by his brother in those preceding chapters all the way to the end of Genesis and Genesis chapter 50 and what God have in his life. And here he was, he didn't have what we have, the New Testament. I mean, he didn't have much. He put his faith and trust in God, but he was betrayed by his brothers and he was a slave into Egypt. He was falsely accused. He was working even in the darkest times. Even in his most difficult, there were always those who noticed that and saw something different about Joseph. That he had honored him and used him in the way that he did is because he learned how to be confident in God. Even in the worst, confident that he's working in me. I have to remind myself of that. I have to stop at times because, folks, I can walk on water. No, not even. I find myself, you know, that with some day, you start having some questions and then I just ask the Lord, help me, Lord, and just stop and just say, no, you're good. Today, there's an ugly mess here. I got to take care of that here. Or this situation is before me. For years, I know you're using it all. And the Lord always takes me back and says, rejoice evermore. And it's as the Lord says, Reuben, just remember those two words? Yeah, Lord, rejoice evermore. In my heart. And I just made the decision. I'm just going to rejoice. And then, listen, may that be a blessing to you. May you just take some scripture and let it be a blessing. I should have a tip jar for that one. Maybe you can come and put some, throw a few in there for me, huh? God's so good. He's gracious. He's working in you. Job said this in Job chapter 23 and verse 10, but he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I come forth as gold. He's refining me. And I'm going through the crucible. The Lord's there. And I know he'll take care of me. May we express that kind of faith. Confident. Be confident that he gives direction. He gives direction. I don't know where right now. And you might be in a wilderness of sorts. Wondering in east and north and south are. I'm disoriented spiritually speaking. But know this. Get into that word and pray. Look unto him. He will give you direction. Without Christ, then as you look unto him and say, Lord, I don't know you, but I need to know you. Will you help me? He'll give you direction. He'll point you to that cross where Christ died on that cross for you. But folks, he gives us a wonderful direction. We know that great verse in Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And then he shall direct thy paths. He'll show you the way. If you and I will just sometimes just back off and just say, Lord, I'm tired of trying to figure this out on my own. Lord, I just submit to you. Will you direct me? I want to be confident in that. Now, unlike man, God gives advice that's sound and sure. Because he's faithful. God has always led his people along. He wants to lead his people along. He led the Jews in the wilderness. In Exodus chapter 40, we won't turn there, but in those last several verses of that book, Exodus has 40 chapters. The last part of that book, verses 34 through 38, he led them with a cloud by day and by a pillar of fire by night. He gave them a clear indication of how he would lead them. And so I say this to you and I, that we would stay in his word. Stay in his word every day. Read it, but ask God to help you. Ask him to open up your eyes, yeah, that you may behold wondrous things out of his law. Right. Ask him to show you and direct you, and ask him to incline your heart to yield unto him. I love how the psalmist said that many, many times. Lord, incline my heart. Will you incline my heart to do what's right? In other words, would you just kind of push me along? You know, it's like asking God to cheat for you. Would you just help me? Because I don't think I have the wherewithal to go the right direction. I want to do what's right. Would you incline my heart? And the psalmist prayed that, and God heard that prayer. It's like God fudges for us. You remember playing marbles way back as a kid? You know, we used to play marbles out in the at recess, you know, and he had the peeries and the cat eyes and cat peeries. It's just a dime a dozen. The peeries. Oh man, I'm gonna try to win that purple peerie. I mean, and then you had the steelies. Some of you guys are not tracking with me here. I know we have some marble players out there. I still have a few of those marbles. There's only a couple up here at Steer. But we play marbles, and then, you know, you'd have a circle, and then you'd shoot, and fudged. You remember that? Yeah, you passed the line. You fudged. That wasn't good, but God fudges for us, and it's okay. And we need God to fudge for us. I love that little term. Man, I hadn't heard that term in the longest time, and it came back to my mind. I find myself going back in time a lot as I'm getting older. Folks, we need to stay in His Word. It tells us how to live. It tells us how to live. It tells us how to relate. It tells us how to treat people. It tells us how to treat our kids. It tells us how to treat our spouses. And as we yield to the Lord, may we become more like Christ, that people can see Christ in us. It teaches us how to pray. Folks, it teaches us how to die. When that time comes, and if the Lord hasn't come back, and the Lord's ready to take us home, I just love to see the grace that He gives to dying saints. I've had that opportunity many times to be at the bed, and I know that's just not manufactured. You can't manufacture that. You cannot just produce that on your own. It's the Spirit of God who just comforts you and says, "Child, I'm about ready to bring you home." And I've seen so many of the saints with just a smile on their face. And you know, the angels are close. And that time when, you know, like being with your, you know, around your grandpa, I think you were there with your grandpa or your grandma when they both passed away. And just being around folks and just seeing a smile on their face because they know that heaven's their home. Right. And what a great thing. But the Lord gives us, He gives us that dying grace. Folks, that's why it's important to be in this Word. We can be assured daily that He's leading us for Christ. It says in Colossians 1:9, that ye might be filled with the knowledge of where I'm supposed to be. You know, when my wife and I, we were praying about, okay, is this where you want us? Had some visits, and they were checking us out, and we were all praying, though, and man, my prayer is, Lord, I don't want to be the man that's supposed to be here. And the doors just kept opening up. And I'd pray, Lord, you know, there's things that have to happen. This would have to happen. That would have to happen. And those doors just kept opening up. And to the dismay of many, they asked me to come. There was some. They're no longer here. But God opened the door. And you know what? I mean, I just knew. And you know, yeah, there's times as a pastor, and I'm not even going to cry on your, not at all. No, man. We've not even experienced anything. But yeah, you know, everybody in life experiences things. And yeah, there's always going to be disappointments and things. But all through these 9.5 years, not too long, it'll be 10 years, I just have known, I know, this is where you want me. Right. Even when sometimes we're a little difficult, we just knew. The Lord, you put us here. And so I have that peace that God just put us here. It's good to know His will. And if you're struggling and out there, maybe this is just a time, that interval, where the Lord's going to show you, but just be inclined. Ask the Lord, incline my heart. Help me to know your will. I want to turn my life over to you, Lord. And He gives you that, and you just have this sweet peace of God. And it's a great, great thing. How good is it? You know, Luke chapter 11, in verses 11 through 13, it says, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask for a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" He says, "If ye then," no earthly dad with any kind of love or compassion for his child would ever do those things. And he says, "If ye then, being evil," because we really are intrinsically evil, we're sinners. He says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" Right. Now, I'll just kind of just clarify that, because we as believers already have the Holy Spirit. But I believe He's talking about in measure and in power. The Lord wants to give us a fullness of the Spirit. We're supposed to walk in the Spirit. We're supposed to be filled with the Spirit. We have all of the Spirit of God that we are ever going to have, but does He have all of us? Maybe that's the good way of putting it. Does He control you, or are you kind of the one in the driver's seat? And that's a good thing to think about. Remember the tip jar thing again. That was a little bit of... It's just a good thing for us to realize is, Lord, am I running the show here? Or am I just turning it over unto You? Because the Lord can do it in a heartbeat, but He doesn't work that way. He says, no, I'm going to wait and let You call me, and then I'll come if You want me to direct Your life. Yeah. And so maybe that's the question for you today is, am I running my own life, or am I putting my full confidence in You, Lord? That's a good thing for us to do. It's a good thing for us to do to stay on our knees. Let's stay on our knees. Even when we can't physically be on our knees, is in our hearts be on our knees before the Lord all through the day. Lord, I'm just a wreck. Don't amen. I'm talking about every one of us, right? Lord, I'm just a wreck, but You have such wisdom. And I want to just yield to You, Lord. And I want to yield to Your word and just trust You. I know that You'll give me direction. You're so kind and so gracious. I know You will, and I'll just trust that. May we stay on our knees and do that. May we just stay humble before the Lord. When there's an opportunity for us to be lifted up, oh, look what I did. Ah, I did that. I did that. Oh, I figured this out. It's the way to just pull away and just say, Lord, no, that was because of You. You gave me the wherewithal maybe to figure some things out, but I thank You. All of the resources I have, all of the abilities I have, any talents I have, You gave them to me. And You've used those talents to maybe help me to figure things out, but I'm going to pull away from that and just say thank You because You did it. And if we'll do that, God will honor that. Blindness is because, folks, we all have blind spots. We all have our weaknesses, and it's just good to go come before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm just nothing. I'm just weak. I'm blind. I can't figure things out, but if I look unto You, You'll guide and You'll direct. Jesus said, I came into the world that they which see not might see. Jesus wants to give you spiritual vision. He wants to give you direction so that you'll have a discernment where you can look and you just go, oh, I see it. I see it clearly now. Thank You. Thank You that You've made this way and You've opened it up. And so maybe if you're there and you're wondering, I don't know my direction, God will help you. The Lord will help you. Just trust Him. So when it comes to staying on the right path, make sure that the Lord is thy confidence. Make sure that He's your confidence. Be confident that He hears your prayers. Be confident that He's working in you. And be confident that He'll give you direction. And if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, then be confident in this, that He'll save you. And He'll give you eternal life. You can know for certain that you're on your way to heaven because He can forgive you of your sins if you'll just put your faith and trust in Him. So may we all put our confidence in Him, the right kind of confidence. Amen? Come. And with that, let's bow our heads. We'll have the piano player come. Brother Jason will lead us in a hymn in just a few moments. With our heads bowed, and we're in a spirit and an attitude of prayer before the Lord. Let me ask you this question. How many of you would say today, I know without a doubt, Pastor Garcia, I know without a doubt that I'm saved. I know that I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. God bless you. I know without a doubt I'm saved. I know Jesus Christ is my Savior today. God bless you. But maybe you're here today. Well, I'll just ask you another question. You that have just raised your hands, you would say, would you please pray for me? I would reveal that. Pray for me, though, that I would make the Lord my confidence, that I back to the flesh. Yes, God bless you. There's so many hands that have been raised up. I still have a tendency to just want to try to figure it out. I have a tendency to just trust man too much. I look for other people's opinions. I try to find experts. Sometimes I don't always look to the Lord. Would you please pray for me that way? God bless you. And then let me ask this question. Maybe you're here today without Christ. You don't know for sure that you're saved. You maybe believe in God. Maybe you believe about Jesus, but you've never come away your sin as your Savior. you've never trusted in him and invited him into your heart to take away your mind. But you would say, Pastor Garcia, please pray for me. I don't know for sure if I died, point you out to heaven, and I'm concerned about my soul. Is there anybody like that? And I'm not going to point you out. I just want to pray for you. Is there anybody like that? I don't know for sure. Correct each and every one of us, and may we be willing to respond if he chooses to speak to our hearts about particular things today. Father, we thank you today. We're grateful for the opportunity to gather together. Thank you, Lord, for your word, and it exhorts us and commands us to put our trust in you, to put our confidence in you. We put our confidence in a lot of things in this life. We put our confidence in investments that we make. Sometimes we put our confidence in career choices, a profession that we're heading into. We put our confidence in this and that and other things. And you know, that's human. But help us, Lord, to put our confidence really on you. Help us to put our confidence solely on your word and upon you as well. Would you help us that way? You'd work. Help us to have the right kind of confidence. And so, Lord, we look unto you. We pray that you'd work in our hearts. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.